So bless us this morning as we look to your word, and we want to thank you, Father, and we give you glory and honor. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. Well, again, it's awesome that, you know, we're not a big church. We're not thousands or 500s or 200 or even 100, but that we're able to, you know, talk. And, you know, you guys can make your comments when I'm up here, but not during service, obviously. We don't want to do that. But it's awesome. I think we're a family. I love it. Though we are few, yet we are strong when God surrounds us. And you guys, I look at you guys, and man, I'm like, man, thank you, Lord, that we are grounded on the Word of God. We are rooted and grounded in God. And so that's why I think we're so blessed. That's why we're powerful, because we have God's Word. And we teach the Word of God line upon line, precept upon precept. We teach truth, and God has blessed us. So open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11 as we continue systematically to go through the Word of God and get in and dive into it and see what the Lord has for us this morning. What did I say? Potluck? What did I say? Did I say Matthew? Man, I don't know what's up. That's scary, guys. Now I better really be careful when I say Carmen, because I don't want to call her something else, another name. What? No, I said Carmen. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 11. I'm not really aware I said that. And what does that mean? What does that tell you? Maybe God wants us to go to Romans. All right. Okay, Luke chapter 11. That is so funny. Ay, ay, ay. Only at North Park. That's it. Well, it don't matter to me, because we got eternity. So we can continue to go. But if you remember last week, we were talking about that demonic man that the evil spirit made him blind, lame, and mute, and how Jesus delivered him, and people were amazed by what Jesus did, and Jesus was sharing that illustration, how important it is when God delivers somebody. When Jesus delivered this man, how important it is for him to get his house in order and to make sure that he occupies it with God and what God did for him and Jesus in his life. But because he left his house vacant, and he did clean his house, he swept it, got it in order, but he didn't bring in the new tenant, who was Jesus Christ, the enemy, the evil spirit. He came back, and he came back with even more that were more worse than him, and so his life was worse off than the first time. And you know, when I think about that, I think of how important it is that when God heals us from any addiction or from our old lifestyle, what he took us out of and what we struggle with, and from the bondage of sin that is so addicting and controlling in our life, that we occupy our life with the goodness of God. Amen. That we occupy our life with God's word and allow Jesus to finish what he started in our life, because that's what he wants. He says what he started, he will finish till what? Till the end. The end of what? You know, the end of our life here on earth. But it begins when we step into eternity. That's when life is really going to begin, guys. We have that waiting for us. So it's easy for us who are in our 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, no one here is 100, right? To say, you know what, I've done it all. I'm ready, Lord. If you come now, we're going to have new bodies. I always remember when I was younger how I used to say, I can't wait to get older. Because the older I get, the closer I'm going to get to God physically and spiritually. But then when I'm there, I'm thinking, man, Lord, if I can only be younger, I think I can do more things for you. And, you know, we're never satisfied. That's the bottom line. And no matter what you get, how much you get, you're never going to be satisfied. Nothing will satisfy you. The only person who can satisfy you is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because we are satisfied with the fact that the end of our faith is the salvation of our souls. Jesus is coming back. Anytime now, it's evident. It's you can't deny it. People can't. It's evident. He's coming back, and we're gonna be with him real shortly, and I believe that. And that's my hope. Excuse me. Maybe that's why I keep saying different things. It's my throat. So anyways, so we're going to pick up at verse 27. So after Jesus healed this man of this demonic spirit and all that took place, in verse 27, it said, and it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nurse you. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So we see God, Jesus doing this great, mighty miracle. I mean, it was amazing. Have you guys ever seen someone be delivered from a demonic spirit? I have. It is scary. And this is one of my younger days as a pastor. It was scary. And I didn't want to, you know, I just kind of watched at a distance, you know. And it is scary because it's real. Now, if I face it, I'm not scared about it. You know, I'm ready to face it. I'm not going to look for it. But if God brings it in our path, we got to deal with it. But this is what they were witnessing. All of a sudden, in the midst of all this, we see this woman. She's, you know, she's kind of caught up in the moment what was going on. And she just witnessed Jesus heal a deaf, mute, and blind man from an evil spirit. And she cries out in the midst of everyone there. And she honors Mary by saying, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nurse you. You know, I was reading this and I was thinking, I wonder if Satan was there watching this, you know? And maybe he said, you know what? I think that would be a great idea. Maybe I will make it so that everybody will honor his mom and worship his mom and make her part of that redemption glory and everything. Maybe that's why we have denominations and everything that we have today. Maybe that's, I'm just saying, don't, it's not God, doesn't say it. But I was just thinking about that, how he does, he's an imitator. He imitates everything that God has and what he does. He's bogus. And so just another way of imitating and distracting the people. And so we see this woman, she's drawn attention to his mother, to Mary, bringing honor to Mary. And of course, you know, Jesus, he loved his mom. He loves people, and he doesn't want to dishonor his mother. So he redirects this woman and everyone who's listening. He redirects her, and he takes the focus off Mary, and he does it in two ways. The first way, he says, look at verse 28. He says, more than that is blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So Jesus, he redirects Mary, this woman. He redirects everybody, and he puts the attention on the fact that everyone who hears and listens to the word of God is his family. Not just Mary, everybody. In fact, Matthew tells us that in chapter 12, verse 46, while he was still talking, Matthew says, while he was talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and his brother stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one of them said, hey, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside and they want to speak with you. But he answered and he said to the one who told him this, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand towards his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Guys, I think it's very important to understand that God loves everyone. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you've been. Jesus died for the sins of the world. Don't ever think that the Lord can't save someone just because you might think they're unsavable or you just don't want them to be saved. Maybe you might feel, hey, you know what? No, they deserve hell. I got bad news for you. We all deserve hell. But I also have good news for you, and that is he gives us what we need and not what we deserve. He took the price. But I think Isaiah chapter 59 explains it best in this context of, you know, God can save anybody because Isaiah, the Lord through Isaiah said this, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God and your sins have hidden his face from you, so you will not hear. So what he's saying here is that, you know what, God wants to save everybody, but the reason why he does is because they don't want to be saved. Their iniquity separates them from God. God wants to save. He can save anybody. There's not one person on this earth that cannot be saved, no matter what they, what evil or sinful, how sinful they are. I think of Paul. Look at Paul. Saul, he did more than anybody. I mean, if anything, you can put him right there in the category of all those serial killers. He was killing the people of God. He thought he was doing God's work until Jesus knocked him off his horse. He knocked him off his high horse. I didn't say horse. I didn't say camel, right? And he heard Jesus, and he got saved, and that's when God changed his name from Saul to Paul. His whole life changed, just like you. God knocked you off your horse, and your life changed, and you have not been the same. And it did get a little worse, right? In the beginning, when I got saved, oh, man, my life became worse. I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, isn't this supposed to, everything's supposed to be good, everything's supposed to work, and everything's supposed to be happy, and it's worse. Why did I do this? And I realized, because Satan, I'm a threat now, and Satan wants to redirect my salvation, what God did for me. He wants to redirect it and tell me that, you know what, nah, it's bogus. Look at your life, you know. Isn't he good at reminding us of our past? It's like that saying, you know, when Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Amen. Or you know what, guys, you got to know how to have the right conversation with Satan. When he knocks on the door and you look through that peep, how many of you guys look through your peephole? You know who it is. When you knock on that door, when he knocks on your door and you look and you see him, you do this: Jesus is for you. Let Jesus answer the door. And then second point here is that Jesus points them to what is more important and what is more necessary. And I think we got to remember that. What is more important in your life? What is more necessary when it comes to Jesus? Obedience. Well, once again, he says that it's that those who hear the word of God and those who are keep it and those who keep it are more blessed than the womb that bore him. So that means that there's this greater blessing than what Mary had experienced. And that is, those who hear the word of God are going to experience having a personal relationship with him and being part of the kingdom of God. I mean, that was more important to Jesus than being the mother who bore him. Isn't it great to have a relationship with Christ? Yes. I mean, guys, having a relationship with Jesus is more fulfilling, more blessing, more blessed, and more greater than having your relationship with your spouse or with a friend or a close friend. Nothing can compare because it's perfect. Jesus is perfect. You're not perfect, but he's perfect. And if anything, we're the ones that cheat on him, and we're the ones that give him a hard time, but not Jesus. He's always perfect. He would be that perfect husband that you're looking for. He's a perfect husband to Keith. Jesus, Keith, because you're the bride, that's why. You're a beautiful bride in his eyes. Only in his eyes. Okay? We're beautiful brides. We're the bride of Christ. You know what that means? We're the church. We're the people. We're his bride. And he's the bridegroom, and one day he's going to come for us. I tell you what, I've never in my life ever thought I would be a bride, you know. But in God's eyes, man, we are beautiful to him. And he says we are more blessed than the woman who bore him because we have this personal relationship with him. In John chapter 1, verse 12, Jesus said, John said this, but as many who had received him, to them he gave them to the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name. Now listen to what he says here. He says, those who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, or in this case, or even Mary, but of God. It's because of God we have the right to become his children, the children of God. And those of you who have a Bible right now, I want you to do me a favor. Take your Bible and just put it up in your face like this. Hold it like this. Go ahead. Go like this. Look. Do what I do. Go like this. Okay? Now, I'm going to read this scripture while you look at that Bible that's in front of you. Listen to what James tells us. It says this: but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. You're looking into the perfect law right there. The perfect law of liberty. That's what you're looking into. And if you continue in that and you don't forget and you become a doer and not just a hearer, you will be blessed in everything that you do. Oh, you know, yeah, you can put it down now. I would like to see you do that. You know, if the only people can do that is those who do CrossFit. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, John said, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Isn't that awesome? Time is near, guys. Take a look outside. It looks great, right? But in the spiritual realm, there's a lot of evil going on. There's a lot of evil going, physically evil going on. You can't just see it, though. It's out there. Why? Because the time is near. But as long as you keep that word of God in front of you, you read it and you do it, you're going to be blessed. Revelation 22, verse 14 says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Isn't that great? We have access to the tree of eternal life. When we get there, we're going to see the tree. It's not going to be like, okay, guys, Frank, you come in, but you see that tree? Don't touch that tree. You can touch every other tree, but not that tree. Not no more. He said, Frank, you come in here, first wipe your feet off. And go in there. No, you don't have to do that. He says, go in there and you can pick of any tree you want, the tree of eternal life. Why? Because we're going to be brand new. All the old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. New creation. And so we'll be able to enter through the gates into his city. Enter the pearly gates. You know, it reminds me of that joke that Mike McIntosh told once. He says, yeah, this man, he died, and he went to the pearly gates. And he walked up to, and I probably won't say it right, he walked up to the pearly gates, and Peter was there. And Peter said, hey, come on in. He goes, hey, you know, where's God? Is God here? And you know what? Forget it, because I forgot it. Man, what is up with that? I forgot how the punchline goes. So I guess it's probably best, because then it wouldn't have been funny anyways. You probably would have said, really? Is that really going to happen? Man, can't believe it. Well, never mind. Forget that joke, okay? Forget that joke. Anyways, so again, you know what? Jesus said that greater blessing. When Jesus told this woman, the greater blessing is still for us today, and that is, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. You know, the word blessed means, oh, how happy, or how fortunate, or how well off are we. That's it. Not necessarily mean, oh, how blessed you are materially, financially. It means, how happy, aren't you happy that you're saved? If we're going to rejoice in anything, rejoice in the fact that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How fortunate we are that God has entrusted us with the Word of God. How blessed are we? Man, you can't contain it. If you're blessed, you got to just share it and shout it on the rooftops. If you want to go on the roof of this building and shout how blessed you are, I'll let you up there. And you can get up there and just yell, I did it, but I did it on the top of that roof over there at the North Park Theater. I went up there, and it was pretty scary, because up there the wind is blowing really hard. And I went up there, and I yelled from the rooftop, and that was back in the 80s when we had access to the North Park Theater. Man, you can't contain the fact that we are blessed. How happy are we when we are close to Jesus? Woo! I can't remember. But I yelled. I was yelling because I was so excited to be up there, and I was able, you know, just excited. So, look at verse 29. And so while the crowds were thickly gathered together, and he began to say, this is an evil generation. It seeks signs, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. You know, when also he says this right after the woman says, hey, you know, Jesus heals the demon man, you know. Hey, blessed is the woman, Mary, the mother who bore you. You know, a lot of times when Jesus does something in our life or God wants to do something, how the enemy wants to redirect what God's doing on something else. He don't want them to get the credit. He don't want Jesus to be lifted up. Jesus said, if my name is lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him. You think Satan wants his name lifted up? Many times when, you know, you witness with somebody, all of a sudden something will come and redirect that person or whatever work you're doing in the Lord. You got to be watchful. You got to be careful because the enemy is going to try to redirect you from what God wants you to do and to do something else that it's not what God wants you to do. And so it's very important. So while that's happening, you know, after Jesus points her back to the cross, points her back to him and off Mary, he says, hey, you know what? This is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign is going to be given except the sign of Jonah the prophet. So the crowd, you know, they start to gather around Jesus as they always did. And everybody had all these different motives and reasons why they were around Jesus. Some were just a bunch of looky-loos, and some wanted to get something from Jesus, and others were there because he was the Messiah. They accepted him. And then he starts off with these very strong words that were describing the generation that he lived in. You know, and we can honestly say that it's the generation that we live in, too. And he tells them, this is an evil generation. And, you know, and the reason why he considered them an evil generation is because why? They wanted more signs of his validity of being the Messiah. Hey, we want you to give us more signs. Prove who you are. We want, you know, this is not enough. Now, I don't think that this was a bad thing, guys. I don't think because they wanted a sign from Jesus to prove that he claimed to be who he was. I don't think there's nothing wrong with seeking evidence that Jesus is the Son of God or the Messiah or the one who can forgive you of all your sins. There's nothing wrong with that. Most of us did the same thing, right? When you did it, before you got saved, you, hey, wait a minute, prove more. I did it. Right before we accepted the Lord, me and Carmen, and at our spiritual mom's house, where this woman, when they lived on Ivy Street, I told him, you know what? Okay, I'll accept the Lord, but first I want to go outside. And the reason why I wanted to go outside because I wanted to smoke that funny tobacco. And so we started, me and Carmen started arguing, and our spiritual mom said, no, let him go. So I went, and I sat out, and I remember the clouds were so low, it's going to get ready to rain, and I went out there, and I, you know, lit up a, yeah, you know, I hate saying it, you know, lit up a joint. And I looked up and I started smoking. I said, God, if you're real, show me a sign, prove yourself. And when I looked up, no lie, the cloud opened up. It kind of just went like this, and there was one star. And when I saw that, I threw it that down. I threw it down and I went in and we accepted Jesus Christ. And I accepted him as my Lord. So, you know what? I think that there's nothing wrong with seeking a sign or seeking proof. There's nothing wrong. Most of us did it. And some of us, we don't, right? Don't you guys seek confirmation from the Lord when you want confirmation? And that's a good thing. So the problem is not in seeking the evidence or the confirmation. The problem is in seeking more and more and more evidence of who he was and what he can do. That's the problem. And if you think about it, guys, what greater sign could God give them and us than him revealing himself to humanity? I mean, that's the biggest and the greatest sign that God could ever give the world. Amen. And that was that to have his very own son standing in the presence of men, standing in their presence so that Jesus could see them face to face and they could reach out and touch them. And yet they still wanted more signs. Hey, we want more signs. Well, hey, they forgot to realize that God was meeting their needs while Jesus was among them. And the evidence to prove that Jesus was who he said he was demonstrated by Jesus many times. I want to share a few of them. And this is just a few, and these aren't the greater ones. But how about when Jesus fed the 5,000 plus who were hungry? You know, that was done through the love and the power of God. Or bro, how about when he calmed the seas and he calmed the storms and the elements and everything. And then he even calmed the fear of the man. How about when he preached and he taught to them and they said, hey, he preached and he teaches like no man has ever done. Or how about healing all kinds of manner of sicknesses, all kinds of infirmities. Or how about even casting out evil spirits. Or how about being raised by the dead. I mean, what greater proof or sign could God give them that was more greater than bringing salvation to men? And eventually, you know, when he rides into Jerusalem, what are they going to say when he rides on the donkey? What do they say? Hosanna, Hosanna. What does it mean? Save now, save now. So they're going to actually acknowledge that. And the same people who acknowledge it will probably be the same ones who say, crucify him, crucify him. I mean, what greater sign or proof can God give you that's more greater than bringing salvation to us? God sent his son into the world to personally save them, to save us, to save you. Even those who might be listening right now or soon over the internet, if you need to be saved, he personally wants to save you. I mean, what sign is more greater than Jesus dying on the cross for the world or greater than Jesus rising from the dead? And yet here in verse 29, Jesus, look what he says. This is an evil generation. It seeks a sign. But no sign will be given to accept the sign of Jonah the prophet. I mean, God has given the greatest signs that could ever be given to them. And if they can't accept what he has already given them, what makes them think that they're going to accept if he gives them another sign, that they're going to accept that? You can never be satisfied, right? Man, can't we? Every time we get something, we want more. That's just the way of life. It happens with the best of us. I mean, if they can't accept what he's done for them now, what makes them think that they're going to accept and believe in him with a sign or the evidence that's going to that he's going to give because they want it? So the signs and the evidence that was given to them weren't the problem of them believing. The problem is the fact that they just didn't want to believe. You know what? God made it simple, guys. They wanted it to be more difficult. What I mean by that is they couldn't accept the fact that the Messiah was one of their very own. A carpenter. Hey, isn't that Joseph's son? Well, I mean, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He was one of their very own. His weapon was love. Jesus taught them to love their enemies, to pray for them. And they didn't like that because they wanted the Messiah to lead them against their enemies, to defeat them, especially the Romans. That's what they wanted. They wanted it more difficult when God made it very simple, love. And also there are many, just like today, who wanted to live the way they wanted to live. They didn't want to change their ways. The Pharisees didn't want to change their ways. They had it made. People honored them. People worshiped them. They had the best clothing. They had position. They had the best seats. Why are we going to change? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. They didn't want to change their ways. They didn't want someone to demand them to be and to give all they can to the Lord, to live by faith, to love others like God loved them, and to have this relationship with him. They don't want that. Look what he says in verse 29. He says that this generation, it seeks signs and no sign will be given except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. So the only sign Jesus said he's going to give them is the sign of Jonah. And that is like Jonah, not Jonah himself, but like Jonah. And Jesus, he gave his life to a people who needed to be saved from the judgment of God. Just like Jonah, when he went to the Ninevites, he also he gave his life to a people who were evil and they needed to be saved. Well, that's why Jesus came. He came to a people who needed to be saved. Also, the sign of Jonah pointed to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Matthew tells us that in chapter 12. Listen to how Matthew explains it in verse 39. He said, but he answered and he said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after sign, and no sign will be given it except the sign of the prophet of Jonah. For as Jonah was in 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So the resurrection of Jesus is the greatest proof that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And Paul tells us about Jesus in Romans chapter 1, verse 4. He says that Jesus, he declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by what? By the resurrection from the dead. So what does that tell you? Guys, listen. Jesus himself was all the signs that they needed to be saved and to be forgiven. That's it. It's all about Jesus. That's all you need. Don't go beyond Jesus. Be careful. Be careful that you don't, you want so much, that's too shallow, or Jesus, you know, what he did and what he said, too shallow. I need something more deeper. So you go beyond the basics of your faith. You know what? The basics of your faith are what you're supposed to build on. Not the deep stuff, the simple stuff. I like how John Corson puts it. He puts it, he says that doctrine should be taught, it should be easy enough for a new believer not to drown in it, and deep enough for a mature believer to swim in it. So we're talking balance. We're talking perfect unity there, you know? And so don't go beyond Jesus. And so Jesus himself was all the sign that they needed. In verse 32, Jesus even claimed to be greater than Jonah. He says, therefore, they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. He claimed to be greater than Jonah. And he claimed to be the greatest messenger, he was the greatest missionary, the greatest prophet, the greatest teacher who had ever came. The Messiah himself. And now he has come, and everyone is now without excuse and can never stand before God and say, I didn't know. God made it revealed. He revealed it. That's why you got saved. God revealed the truth about us and about what's going on. And look at verse 32. He says, he's talking about Nineveh. When Jonah went to them and he shared with them that they repented at the preaching of Jonah. So we're talking the Ninevites. They were the worst of the worst. They repented at the hearing of the word of God that came through this one man, Jonah. And now the Messiah himself, God's own son, Jesus Christ, has come. And he came with the same message that Jonah preached. Jesus is preaching and teaching, and he's announcing that the kingdom of God itself is at hand, right in their midst. He's right there. So every person now is beyond signs, is beyond questions, is without excuse. No more signs. Jesus, if you only do this, then I'll believe. No more signs. You're without excuse. You have a choice. And he goes on and gives the example. Look at verse 31. He says, and then the queen of the south will rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. And the men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemned it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. So Jesus said that, you know, this obviously here, this evil generation did not seek him. The one who had the words of eternal life, the word of God was right there in front of them, and they could not accept it. So Jesus gave them a good example of what it meant by using the Queen of Sheba. Now, you can read about this. You can read about it in 1 Kings chapter 10 and 2 Chronicles chapter 9. I'm not going to go over this, that story. But you can look it up yourself. And the reason why Jesus used the Queen of Sheba, because he was demonstrating to them how a person should seek the truth and how important it is to seek him. That's why he gave their example here. And what she had to go through to seek and to hear the truth through Solomon is an example to everyone. It should be an example to us, because she had to diligently go through as much as anyone ever had to go through to seek truth about God in life. If you think about what he, and he actually gives us some examples of what she went through. And so I want to look at that. First of all, listen, she had to travel a very long and hard journey, right? She had a very distance from the ends of the earth just to search out truth. Verse 31 tells us that she came from the ends of the earth just to seek truth. Secondly, because she was a queen, that meant she had a great responsibility. She had to deal with her province, obviously, take care of business. And you know, she had a lot of duties and that demanded her times, very busy schedules as the head of the state. It required her time and presence. And yet, Jesus was pointing out she didn't let nothing stop her in searching for the truth. She didn't let any of that stuff cut in on her from seeking the truth of the Word of God. And then she didn't even have a guarantee that if she went to Solomon, he could help her or he could teach her. She only heard about Solomon's wisdom, and she had to gamble with all that she had in hopes that she could hear what was true. She didn't even have a personal invitation to visit Solomon. She just went in hopes that she would be granted time and hospitality to be taught the truth of God's wisdom through Solomon. And she was, and one of the biggest factors that she was up against a man's world. Back then, guys, women, ladies, you wouldn't be able to get away with what you get away today. In fact, if we were back then, you ladies would be sitting on this side, and you men would be sitting on this side, and you ladies would be sitting in the very back, and you'd be all covered up, and you wouldn't be able to speak. This is how they treated them. And today, even in the Middle East, women are still treated like second-class citizens. It's awful. But she was up against a man's world. You know, and they were very prejudiced against women, so she had to be very careful on how she came. And so Jesus said in verse 31 that the queen of Sheba will be used as what? As a testimony in the day of judgment on how she was diligent in seeking the truth. And that will be a testimony against those who fail to seek after Christ or those who seek after other gods. I love what David said in Psalms 115. It's pretty heavy. Listen to what he said in Psalms chapter 115, verse 3 through 8. Listen to what he says. He says, but our God is in heaven, right? Amen. You guys believe that? Amen. And he does whatever he pleases, right? Amen. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they don't speak. They have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they don't smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they don't walk. Nor do they mutter through their throats. And those who make them are like them, and so is everyone who trusts in them. I love that. I love David, what he says is, because he says, whoever you're worshiping, you're going to be like them. If you're worshiping God, if you're worshiping Jesus, you're going to be like him. But if you're worshiping man or materialism or whatever it may be, you are going to be like it. Look what he says in verse 33, which we're going to stop. I don't want to go over, so I'm going to stop here. I know you want to go over, but we can. Well, let's just read 33 through 36 real fast, okay? Because I still got 5 minutes. It says, no one, when he lights a lamp, puts it under the secret place or on a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. And the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when the eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of the lamp gives you light. And I know I messed that all up. So that's one of those tongue twisters, right? So again, when it comes to Jesus, guys, all that he did, his resurrection in our lives, our witness, he compares it to visibility here when he talks in verse 33 through 36. As one of, that's being clearly seen like a shining candle. And he's going to give us 4 points in these 4 verses, and we'll pick that up next week. So let's pray.